You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Good afternoon and welcome to Event Talk, a show for event and meeting planners brought to you by eventinterface.com, an event management and attendee engagement software company. And this is Eric Dye. Today we are with Phoenix-based event planner Daniel Duran, the events coordinator with the Arizona Charter School Association. Daniel has been in the event planning field for a decade, and in his time he has worked on events of all sizes for numerous nonprofits. He has worked in catering and conference services in the hotel industry and owns an event planning company focused on weddings and social events. Daniel's heart lies in serving people and working in the nonprofit sector, which has led him to the Arizona Charter Schools Association, a nonprofit based in Phoenix, Arizona, supporting, advocating, and leading the way on the mission of student equity in the state of Arizona. Daniel is here today to talk to us about how to measure the success of an event in the nonprofit world, the importance of big vision planning, knowing a community, fostering a culture and identity, and how these strategies result in a profitable event for your organization. Daniel, certainly a privilege to have you part of Event Talk here on EPN.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So, Daniel, as we are discussing vision and measuring success of an event in the nonprofit world, can you share with us briefly what your experience is with this topic?
Sure, happy to. So, spending the last 10 years or so in the nonprofit event planning way of life, so to speak, and then having to started my own company a few years back, I've really been exposed to having to deal and answer a lot of the tough questions that we as event planners face, like, is this event any good? How am I supposed to get this done with minimal funding while still having to produce a profit for our organization? Are we properly serving our community? Are they grasping our vision? And even times, simple questions like, who is our community? What is our vision? So all of this leading up to my arrival here at the association in this last January has really prepared me for the undertaking that we did here as a team. I was brought on at a time when we as an organization had one large annual conference that catered to the entire charter school community. And when I knew that I was taking this event on, I started asking these questions. And in our research as a team, we really found out that this large annual event really wasn't accomplishing what we as an organization needed, and most important, what our community was needing and wanting. So we redesigned this whole year of events and increased our number of conferences by holding smaller, more detailed conferences that are targeted for a specific audience rather than one that reaches everybody at one time. And this really has proven to be a huge success and a work that we're very proud of, a success for our members, not only our school members, but our corporate members as well. So from attendees to our speakers, even to our exhibitors, it's really been a beneficial change for everybody, and we're very proud of it.
Certainly sounds like that, and for reason as well. Now, let's get the missteps out of the way up front. What are some of the biggest mistakes that can be made when looking at an event calendar as well as the planning of an event?
I think that when you're looking at both your calendar of events and the planning process behind it, the biggest misstep an organization can make is always doing something one way because it's the way you've always done it. There's no room for growth there. You really have to be willing to take risks as a team and to sit back and humbly say, what we're doing isn't working anymore. And this will really be just a better service to your community in the long run. Another mistake that really ties into that is not doing what I like to call purpose-filled event planning. Every detail that you plan, from programming to logistics, and it can even be down to the smallest detail, even if that's the bowl of mints at your registration desk, should serve a purpose and produce a direct or indirect positive result as well. Just because someone says, well, you have to have that, or, well, we always do it that way, doesn't mean that it's beneficial, and it definitely may not even be necessary. So it's okay to change those things, and we have to be okay as planners saying, this is okay, I don't need this, and then asking ourselves, does the thing that I'm planning have a purpose? Third, I would say, is not properly budgeting your event. We have direct expenses. We know what our catering costs. We know what our internet, our promotional items, our speakers, all of that. We know what that costs. But oftentimes, and I've seen this done so much, is that we don't take into consideration our indirect costs and what I as a planner cost, what the office rent costs, the mileage, the cost of other staff members' time. All of that needs to be added into your budget so you're able to charge the right amount of money and or know what kind of sponsorships you really need to seek out to cover all of your costs. And finally, not knowing your audience. That is a huge misstep. It is so important to be aware of who your community is and what their needs are and what their wants are, because these events that we're holding as an organization are not our events. This is not Daniel Duran as a planner. This is not my event. This is their event. So those would be the main missteps that we all need to see as a planner and we all need to see as an organization before we move forward with planning your calendar as well as planning what specific event you're going to have.
Certainly valuable information. Now, we've talked about goal setting on other shows, but once you know what your end result needs to be, what do we need to look at in the organization to help achieve those goals?
Sure. I really believe that it comes down to one word, and that word is vision. I think it's safe to say that most nonprofits have a mission statement that they're founded upon and built upon and that they grow from. I think it's a good idea, though, to take that one step further and really come together as a team, be it your staff, or if you don't have a staff, and many nonprofits don't have a full staff, but to have a group of key and lead volunteers in your community to develop a vision or theme for that coming year. You can take that then and let it permeate through everything you do in your organization, especially your events. This really allows for a cohesive message to be delivered to your community and really will in turn build your audience. They'll really feel like they're a part of something special. And again, once they're feeling like they're a part of something, it's going to bring them back, which will in turn, again, just make your profit or your events more profitable.
Today we are with Phoenix-based event planner Daniel Duran, the events coordinator with the Arizona Charter School Association on Event Talk, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Daniel, now, how do you engage your community in the planning and execution of your events?
Sure. Here at the association, we're really fortunate to have an amazingly talented staff. And with each event, we develop a planning committee made up a few of the key staff members whose expertise lies in the area that the event is pertaining to, as well as then bringing in members of our community that would be a good fit as advisors on this committee. They are folks in the front lines experiencing the work that we do. They know what they need firsthand, and it's important to hear from them to be able to provide a program that is beneficial and of value to the rest of the community. And so It's really important to bring folks in from the outside to help plan these events. Like I said before, they're not our events. They are their events. Now, other associations or organizations and nonprofits may not have a large enough staff to have paid staff members on this planning committee. And that's where knowing who you're serving and knowing who you can really lean on and reach out to in your community is going to be so important. So you can bring those folks in. Once again, they're on the front lines doing the work, and they know what they need to see. So that's the main way that we really bring in our community in the planning of the events. As far as the execution of the actual event, again, we're really fortunate to have a wonderful staff that I can rely on to be there for me as a planner to help run that event. Again, if that's not the case, we would bring in volunteers. Volunteers are more than willing, but to that, I would say make sure that those are trained volunteers. A lot of this stuff takes time, but once you set aside the time to really train the proper folks, you can have a really successful event.
And speaking of successful events, when talking about the success of an event, what is it exactly that should or could be measured in a successful event?
I would say in my experience, success really just comes down to two things. Number one, profitability, and number two, the attendees' experience. Nonprofits hold events to, yes, provide an experience to their members and community, but also as a source of revenue. profitability is very easy to measure because it's in dollars and cents, and you know right away if that part of your event was successful or not. Attendee experience, I think, is a little more complex and more really needs to be considered when talking about it. In any event that we plan here at our organization or that I may plan outside, I always keep in three things in mind, and is what we are doing continuing to establish our identity? Is it fostering the culture, and is it building community? If you're completing all of those things, your attendees' experience will be positive and fruitful.
And in conclusion, what are your top three tips for planners to consider as they plan their events for nonprofits?
Absolutely. Number one, like I said before, purpose-filled event planning. Everything that we do must have a purpose. If your event needs to be changed, change them. And again, what I mean by purpose-filled event planning, everything down to the detail, every detail. I spend money on signage. That's because I want to make sure that my participants, from the moment they walk into the door to the moment that they leave our doors, do not feel confused, do not feel stressed, and do not feel anxiety. I want them to know where they need to be, when they need to be there, and where to go. That is a purpose-filled planning tool. Hospitality bags for our speakers and presenters. It may be a cute item to add to your event, but there is a purpose behind that. And that purpose is once they walk into that room and they have a water bottle, they have tissue, they have a throat lozenger, they have whatever they need in that hospitality bag, first of all, it makes them feel welcomed. Secondly, they can focus all on their presentation and only on their presentation. If they need a cup of water, it's right there for them. And that is going to create a better presentation for our members to receive, which is going to really increase and make that experience more fruitful for them. And all of that goes into establishing our identity. So purpose-filled event planning, number one. Number two, don't be afraid of feedback. This is a great way to get to know your community. It's one of the scariest parts of being an event planner is getting that feedback, reading those surveys. But knowing what your community wants and needs is really going to, like I said before, help foster your culture. Number three, and most important in my heart, I would say, is hospitality. Hospitality is key and essential in events. If your participants are feeling valued and taken care of, then you've got them. They will come back the following year. Obviously, we want to strive for good programming and good learning. Even if you may have missed that here and there, if your participants feel valued and taken care of, they're going to come back. It's proven time and time again that once you get people at their hearts, you can really take them anywhere, and that is going to help build your community. So these things working together will then really make your events grow, be even more profitable, and of course, what we all want is to release our members back into the community to really make the difference that your organization is striving to make.
Well, it is very clear that you know your stuff and very valuable information here on this episode of Event Talk. Before you go, if you would, share with our listeners where they can be in best contact with you and also to get more information as it applies to event planning.
Absolutely. Again, my name is Daniel Duran, and they can reach me at daniel.duran, that's D-U-R-A-N, at azcharters.com.
Daniel, thanks so much for joining us here today on Event Talk, and come back anytime.
Thank you so much, Eric. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. And that was Phoenix-based event planner Daniel Duran, the events coordinator with the Arizona Charter School Association that has been in the event planning field for a decade. During his time, he has worked on events of all sizes for numerous nonprofits. And for contact information, simply send an email over to daniel.duran@azcharters.org. And on the next episode of Event Talk, we will be discussing successful strategies for registration fee development. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of Event Talk, a show for event and meeting planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com, an event management and attendee engagement software company. And this has been Eric Dye. This show is supported by eventinterface.com, event management and attendee engagement software. Forget registration transaction fees. Start managing registrations and attendees today for a low monthly fee. Sign up at eventinterface.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.